Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When spring has sprung, and every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak, I want to go play hide and seek. I want to go and bounce the moon just like a toy balloon.
I'll find if I were doing Bloodsport, I'd be fucking terrified. Now arriving on Cultaholic Island, mere days before he flies off to take on the whole world during WrestleMania week. I think you're fighting the whole world, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's pretty much. It is Big Lou Nixon's with us. Big Lou, how you doing?
I appreciate it.
Mate, we're buzzing to have you on. Congratulations, by the way. We've got to start on this.
Thank you for the shout-out.
Now, this is it. Josh Barnett's Bloodsport, right?
Josh Barnett's Bloodsport.
Obviously, representing Newcastle.
First Brit, I think. I looked through. David Roy Smith Jr. has been on, but he's a Canadian, isn't he?
So yeah, he don't count.
First Brit.
That must feel amazing.
Yeah, it's like a big one for me because that was like bucket list. Like obviously coming from a background like MMA and fighting and stuff, and like obviously wrestling. I've always loved wrestling, and then getting involved in it, seeing like what's about, and then I know it's blood sport. And I was like, I need to do that. I was like, I've got to do that at some point, and like I didn't expect it to happen so soon, but. It all comes about so quick. Like you never expect like these things to come about, and when they do, you just gotta go for it.
When did you get the call from Josh?
It was actually Brett, who runs Game Changer Wrestling, who messaged me about it. So I believe like back end of last year, I think I was just like. I'm big on manifestation and putting stuff in the world. So I just messaged him. I was like, do you know what, Brett? I think, because I'd worked for them in Germany, you know, when they did the tour, like Liverpool, and then they went to Germany and did stuff for WXW. So I wrestled Rina Yamashina, who's a sweetheart, by the way.
Yeah.
Sweetheart. And then, like, obviously, I'd met Brett and stuff, got back, it went well, they liked us and stuff. So I messaged him. I was like, I think I'd be a good fit for Bloodsport, you know? And he just messaged, he messages back, like, really quick, which I thought was, like, a big thing as well. He was like, yeah, I think you'd be a great fit. But then I heard nothing. And then whenever it was that I announced, like got the graphic up that I was going, that was the day before, it was the day before that. So that was like the whole reason I was going. I was like, I've got to go out there. So he gave us like Bloodsport and then another show, GCW versus the World. I was like, I've got to go. And then I was like, I'm going to make the most of this and like fill my week. Because too much free time is dangerous for me. So I was like, yeah, I'll have 8 fights while I'm there. Fuck it.
By the way, you can swear on this. You fuck. Because do you know what?
How long did that take? I nearly made you swear.
You did. Because I've been in cars with you.
Yeah.
Up and down to Leeds and back. We've been in cars together, and you do make me swear. Wow. You do make me swear, Luke. I thought about this. I thought, well, do you know what? It's going to take me another 4 days to get this together if I have to bleep everything. So fuck it. Let's just swear it. It's fine.
No monetization.
But it's you mentioned there it's manifestation,
yeah,
isn't
I'm
it?
Big on that, yeah. Like it's, putting stuff in the world.
And I think people forget that they can do that, and the fact that you went. I'd be good for Bloodsport, mate. What do you reckon, Brett?
Yeah.
And he went, Actually, yeah, because a lot of times people will go,
you've got to shoot your shot, you know.
You've
got
to shoot your shot.
You don't score.
Yeah. Because I imagine Brett, and with no ill will to you, would have gone, oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, you might, that's the thing. And like, and then, so I know like Josh Barnett obviously has a part in booking as well, because I was still looking at the matches were getting announced, and I was like thinking, oh, who am I going to get matched with? And I'd like asked Brett, and like, I hadn't heard. And I'd seen like obviously Josh Barnett had another match, and I was like, so what it was he, Josh Barnett had like a grappling match against a fighter who used to be in the UFC called Phil De Vries, and he's from Sunderland.
So that's
what I was thinking. I was like, oh, imagine if I can have
trained. A time weird derby at WrestleMania week at Bloodsport.
Like, yeah. I was like, see if I can. All right, so he's like, had a grappling match against someone from Sunderland. If he fights me in Bloodsport. So I tweeted something. And then obviously, I think after the next day, it got announced he was wrestling Johnny Bloodsport, Johnny Morrison. Which obviously, I was like, yeah, I understand. I was like, yeah, okay. But now I'm wrestling his pal, Josh Barnett's training partner, Eric. I'm going to get, is it Eric Cannon? Like Eric Cannon.
Eric Cannon. There you go. So that must be, something, not until, there must be quite some pressure there. If it's the guy that Josh Barnett trains with.
Yeah, it's a very different one for me. So I looked into him. I looked on the old cage match, you know, and it's like, so literally his last four wrestling matches have been the last like four blood sports. And then all before that, he was in Japan for Antonio Inoki's promotion. And he's wrestled like Bobby Lashley and Bob Sapp. He's been in there with like some really good guys. And like I watched his last match on Bloodsport, and like he's killer. Like,
yeah,
it's like it brought a legit. It's a good matchup for us. Like,
now, it'll
be good fun.
And the same day that you got announced, they announced this groundbreaking partnership with WWE. We're gonna see Shayna Baszler versus Masha Slamovich.
That's amazing. So for me, it's like I was a fan of Shayna Baszler before she was in WWE, before she was wrestling. Me and my dad used to watch like the UFC when I was a kid, and she was part of the Ultimate Fighter on Ronda Rousey's team, where so they're all in the house in the fight for the contract, and it was the first woman's one, and Shayna was on like Ronda's team, and like obviously like they both wrestling, like they went into wrestling, like, and I loved it, like Josh Barnett as well, like I watched him when I was a kid, like in the UFC and in Pride and stuff, so seeing all these like athletes who are in MMA and like now in wrestling, it's like, and now I'm like starting to get my foot in that door, which is like a dream come true for me. So hopefully it's the start of big things.
Is there a pressure knowing that not only this is something that's on your bucket list, but knowing that WWE are involved with it, knows that more eyes than it's ever are going to be on it?
They say pressure makes diamonds though. So
that's
the plan. I seem to do all right under pressure. I don't know. Yeah.
You seem to. Well, let's talk about the making of the diamond that is Lou Nixon. We're going to chat today, and we're going to choose, whilst we do so, three wrestling matches that you would watch on your desert island while stranded there. So we'll do them one by one by one, but we'll go through them as we go through the chat today. Yes. What's your first match, Lou?
Okay, so the first match is a big one for me. It is Necro Butcher versus Samoa Joe. I don't remember the show, but it was
Ring of Honor, wasn't it?
I think, do you know what? I don't know if it was Ring of Honor or IWA. I don't know what it was.
It could have been Mid-South.
Maybe, but I know like Necro was working for Ring of Honor at the time because he wrestled like Daniel Bryan and stuff. But that match, like for me, so like Samoa Joe, when I like became a wrestler,
I became a wrestler.
Samoa Joe was like straight away one of the people that I started watching a lot of, and he became very quickly my favorite. And then obviously the deathmatch world, hardcore world, ECW and stuff. I love all that stuff. So that matchup for me, like the hard hitting style, like of like a legit like athlete like Samoa Joe versus Necro Butcher, who's like crazy hardcore, like you have to kill him to fucking make him stop, you know what I mean? So and then just watching them go at it in the way like Joe mixed his style into the hardcore style. Like I'm big like on like I know you gotta do it, but like for me, I'd much rather like kick something into you than hit you or something, do you know what I mean? Like style wise and stuff and like. So for example, like that, the big belly to belly, like on the outside where like Necro like cracks his head and like, oh, like just brutal stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? That's just as hardcore as hitting someone with like a bit of glass or something for me. Do you know what I mean? And like, I think like, yeah, it's like a fight, isn't it? It's like,
I think
it was a fight that.
I think, and forgive me if I'm wrong, I think this resonates with you because I know that you said in previous interviews, like Samoa Joe was an early favorite of yours because he kind of adopted that sort of MMA-esque style. And then you got Necro Butcher. And it kind of feels like what you're working towards is sort of these two pushed together.
Yeah. And another crazy thing, I got to wrestle Necro Butcher. So I had to tribute it. I wore the shorts, like some not the obviously the exact ones, but the same style that Samoa Joe wore.
Yeah.
And in my head, I was like, if I can like get something half as good as that, I would be buzzing.
Did he get the reference that you were making?
Yeah, straight away. Like someone like messaged me, was like, can I get the shorts off you? Can I buy them? Like, I reference that. I was like, well done for getting that. I was like, fuck, it's like really good. And I was like, yes, you can. but yeah, like Necro was happy with the match. I got to speak to him about that match. He told us the whole story behind it and everything. So it was just like, man, this is crazy that like it just all happens. You know what I mean? It's like it's wild wrestling, wild.
It's
wild.
It is.
You don't expect half the stuff to happen.
And you must pinch yourself a lot because like a lot of the stuff that you've talked about and you've gushed about in conversations in the car and down the road, in the last few years in particular, you're making happen.
Yeah,
which is really exciting.
Yeah, you've got to take it. Take it by the balls and say
that's it.
If you sit there and wait for it, it might not come. But if you go and make yourself known, for example, as we said before, like. I might like if I didn't message Brett about Bloodsport, like he might not have thought, oh yeah, like do you know what I mean? That's it. You don't sometimes unless it's in front of you, you don't think of it. Do you know what I mean? So you can't wait for it to happen. You gotta go get it.
Now, and you were getting it when you were only a teenager because I know that you were fighting and doing mixed martial arts stuff at like 14 years old.
I started competing when I was like 14 in like Muay Thai and MMA. I remember one time. Do you remember Liquid Nightclub in town?
I do remember Liquid.
I lied about my age to fight in there.
Oh no!
Yeah.
So how old were you?
16. Obviously, it was in a nightclub, so I'd be 18. It was there, and I fought like a bloke. My dad was there, like the promoter got wind, and my dad was like, "You'll be all right," and I won.
So your dad, had your dad take it to the promoter to one side and just gone?
The promoter like must have heard, and he was like, "You came like frantically running up." So I just found out you're only 16, and my dad was like. You'd be all right. That was. That was good.
Yes, your dad was big into that sort of world
wasn't he? I was in MMA and stuff. And obviously, like, wrestling was, like, something I got into, like, on my own and stuff. So I remember when Josh Barnett tweeted about this, I just screenshot and sent him it. He was like, that looks really good, that. Like, he obviously doesn't really get it, but I was like, that's good. You know, that's, like, big.
But you were watching wrestling, though, weren't you? Because talked about watching with your grandparents a lot.
Yeah, big, like, when I was at my granddad's and stuff, like, and my grandma's, I had all the figures and stuff, and, like, all the old videos and that, and well, we'll come to talk about match three. That'll be the earliest memory of mine. But yeah,
noted.
I've been a fan of wrestling for as long as I remember, and also like I've done fighting as long as I remember. So like to mix both worlds, like I just love it.
Do you think if wrestling hadn't come along, you'd have continued into the MMA world? Because I know disregard the plaudits. You know, 2-2 in boxing, 2-1 in MMA, 5-0 in Muay Thai.
Yeah.
So like you've got the chops for it.
Yeah, I think like obviously when I was like started training wrestling, I was still doing MMA and I was still competing bits and bobs. But obviously the love for wrestling was bigger, and the fact that I still kind of get to use my MMA and stuff, and like in the world of wrestling and make myself like stand out, it's quite a unique thing. So yeah, I love it. Like I think I'm if wrestling wasn't there, I'd probably still be fighting, but I'm glad it's turned out this way. I like this is like it's good for me.
I want people to appreciate just true like how true Geordie roots are heading over to America, because am I right in believing that your first taste of actually being able to do wrestling as a thing was Burtley Boxing Club?
Yeah, Burtley Boxing Club. That's where Rampage was had his sessions on. Before, like when I started Burtley Boxing Club, that's mental.
So were you boxing at Burtley, or were you training there, and then just wrestling was there one day?
Before when I was younger, but I wasn't at the time.
Yeah,
I hadn't been there in like years, but I had boxed for Burtley when I was like not boxed for them, but trained there when I was younger. It's just when I was doing MMA because that's like the best boxing gym like around. They produce like Olympic champions and that. So if you want to get good hands, you go train with the best boxers. You know what I mean? So that was my thing in there. But yeah, like I wasn't training there at the time, but. Like it was mad. I think it was at a different gym at the time. It was like a old fire station, but then obviously there weren't proper rings. So then there were like boxing rings. You know what I mean? So it was a bit weird. But then
because it's a different thing, isn't it? Because the rings to get in. I think because like I've seen wrestling shows where like they've just gone, rope. We'll hire a boxing rope, boxing ring.
It's like slack.
It's not the same thing, is it?
Same, totally different. Yeah.
And it's infuriating when I see wrestling shows that book a boxing ring. I'm like, what are you doing? You can't do a wrestling show in a boxing ring.
You might as well just book like a no-ring show.
You might as well.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, like, talk about the significance of Rampage Brown, like, in this part of the world in wrestling.
He's like, he's a wrestler's wrestler, isn't he? Like,
yeah.
If you ask a wrestler who's the best wrestler, it's Rampage. It's like, for me, it would be like Rampage or Liam Slater. Like, and like, obviously, Rampage is like my coach where I started. Like, so I always say Rampage. And if anyone, if you say any different, actually, you're wrong. You're wrong. that's it.
When it comes to making that move from doing like Muay Thai and boxing into wrestling, where was the crossover? Because I know footwork's a big part of it.
Yeah, so like I instantly found like, so for example, you start with like when you start like warming up and stuff, obviously press ups, sit ups, squats, like obviously like that's from straight away you do all that stuff in MMA and that's like for your strength and stuff. And then it's like when you get in the ring and stuff, you start learning like forward rolls. But for like for that, in jiu-jitsu, you're rolling about all the time. And like, for example, like taking a bump is like a break fall, taking like a judo throw, do you know what I mean? So it was just like piecing it all together. And then it was like, all right, don't actually knock people out. Work with it.
Because is that not a difficult part? Because you're...
You know what? I found it the other way. For me, I was like, lay it in more. So I like... So I don't want to hit anyone, so like, and then build it up, and like, you get to the point where you're like, right, you find the sweet spot.
There's a sweet spot, isn't there, where you'd have to do it, because that would just be the bit that I would have thought would be the difficult part, because you're so trained to make sure that you make complete flush contact, and now you're going, make it look like you are, but don't.
It's like for me as well, I find like being the MMA guy, I've got to make them look like even better, do you know what I mean, than everyone else, but like, again, I just found the sweet spot, and obviously the more it's reps in, the more you do it. Yeah.
What's a piece of advice that Rampage gave you early on that has stayed with you?
Oh, he gave us lots of. Mm. Oh, that's an interesting one. I remember one. Stick at it. I remember he told us that. Uh-huh. Stick at it, and I did. Found my way. It was particularly like post lockdown, Lou. I remember he was like, I think he had a conversation where he was like, you've done it your way, you know what I mean? And you've got there, and it's like, you stick at it, well done. Yeah.
Was that a conversation, during lockdown, did you say?
No, like post-lockdown.
Okay.
Just, you know, like when pre-lockdown, I found like coming into wrestling, like obviously trying to find yourself, you get a lot of people like opinions and stuff, like, oh, I should do this, do that. But like, I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be like an MMA guy and get that over. I want to be like a hardcore, extreme, like deathmatch guy, but I can do it all. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to. I'm not gonna like put myself in one thing and do it all. And like, I think like after the lockdown, when I got myself in shape and stuff, and like started getting busier and busier, and like particularly back end of last year, I've been doing like all sorts, like up and down the country and stuff. And like, I'd say I do more family shows and stuff than like deathmatch shows and stuff. I over 18 shows now, so it's good to like, I don't know. It's good that I feel like I've found myself in my own way, like got there, you know what I mean? Just stuck my guns, manifested it, and like now I'm here.
Because I feel like it's something that, and we'll touch more on the deathmatch style in a little bit, but it's something that as great as you are at it, and there's a few exceptions to the rule, but it's finite. Because it takes such a toll on you that you couldn't feasibly do it forever. We've seen people come back, like we're seeing like an Indian summer for Iceman at the moment. Like that's been wonderful to watch.
Yeah.
Another lad from round this neck of the woods in Bishop Auckland.
Represent.
Yeah, exactly. So it's important, isn't it? And I think this is a message to other deathmatch wrestlers who are listening to this. It's important to, you know, do that and do it well, but also find other avenues as well, which give your body a bit of a rest.
Put yourself out there, isn't it? Yeah, put yourself out there, do it all.
If fighting in the world of wrestling hadn't come along for you, what do you think you'd have been doing?
Jail.
Nah. Do you know what's funny? You're the second person to answer that question with that answer. Do you know the other one was?
Who?
Jonathan Gresham. I said, what would you do if you weren't wrestling? I'd probably be in jail.
Yeah, or in a ditch. Or in a bar. Yeah, something like that.
Do you think you might have
something
been?
Something else fun. Like, yeah.
do you think you might have been if the discipline hadn't been there? Were you all right?
I don't know. Like, who knows? It's just a guess. Like,
because it was so young when you started.
It's nice to have wrestling and to give me purpose and order. I like the routine, having a diary. This is where I need to be then. And that's where I need to be then. Don't be anywhere else. Yeah, it's good. Nah, I don't know. I've never thought about it, but I wouldn't like it to be anything different.
I think
I would not. Ooh, maybe music. don't know, be a rock star or something.
Okay.
I don't mean Frank Sinatra on the karaoke.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Frank Sinatra because I was going to bring him up when we talked about your tattoos.
Oh, nice.
Because you know, anyone watching on the Patreon, you can see that Lou Nixon is a beautifully decorated individual. And not all of the ones you can see. And I kind of wanted to ask about a few that you've got. And we mentioned to start with Frank, who's on your left calf.
Yeah, left
that's
calf.
It. So I've just been watching through the window. What's the significance of Frank to you?
Frank Sinatra, I used to, like, me and my granny, I used to listen to him, like, loads. I remember being a kid, like, in the car, Frank Sinatra, all the time. And, like, always stuck with us. Yeah. Like, things in life always stick with us, and, like, I'd never change, like, they never go away, do you know what I mean? Like, wrestling. And Frank Sinatra, yeah, I've always loved Frank Sinatra. It's just nice. It's from happy times.
Happy times, isn't it? Oh yeah. Because so you picture yourself in the car with your gran.
Yeah, and then me granda, and then I like to sing Frank Sinatra and karaoke too. I couldn't do it when I was sober though. I've got to have a few pints to get the real raspiness of the voice.
What's the Frank go to on karaoke?
Depends on the time of the night. You know, if I'm last song, it's got to be my way in it. You know what I mean? But like, if it's like mid riff, like. I like a little, it's obviously New York, New York.
Nice.
What was the...
Ain't that a kick in the head?
What's... there's one. Oh, wait there. It's going to come to us here. What is it? When spring has sprung, and every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak, I want to go play hide and seek. I want to go and bounce the moon, just like a toy balloon. The name of the song's still not coming to us, but that was it. What the hell is it called? I'll find
If I were doing Bloodsport, I'd be fucking terrified. Because this lad's coming over from Newcastle and he's going to beat the shit out of you and then sing Sinatra at you.
What is the song? That's really annoying. I've just sang it there. See, I know it's like that. What is the song?
Shall I look? Say Google the lyrics? Let's Google the lyrics while we're together.
Obviously, it's not one of his go-tos, but like that, it's good.
Hang on. So let me. So.
We need to find it.
Give me the lyrics again. Give me the lyrics again.
Oh, what? It's called "You Make Me Feel So Young."
You make me feel so young.
You make me feel as though spring has sprung. There we go.
That's it.
I bet you didn't expect that.
I
didn't expect that either.
That's nice. A little bit of the boss, but is that a song? Is that a song for after a fight or before a fight?
Party after.
Got
that one, yeah. Karaoke is definitely for after.
Yeah. Oh yeah, would it be on a plate?
Iceman likes karaoke.
He does.
In like some kind of karaoke death match, but yeah.
I've seen him end a few shows for the song.
What does he sing? Does he sing Meatloaf?
Yes, he does. Yeah.
I'll start with Frank. You can end with Meatloaf.
There you go. That's a hell of a night, that is.
You can come on in and do a bit of American Pie while we're at it. You know what I mean?
I think there's something deeply, and that's what I say, like, if you're going to Bloodsport, be fucking terrified. There's something deeply unnerving about someone who will kick the shit out of you and then just sing Sinatra to you.
Yeah,
like, it's something to that. You have Jesus Christ on your other calf, I believe, or on your arm. You got a Jesus somewhere?
I have a Jesus is there somewhere. Jesus.
Mm?
Yeah.
How important is religion to you in your life?
So I'm from like my grandma, my mom's side particularly was dead religious. But it's more so just like the imagery for me. I love like religious imagery. Because
you've got the cross on today as well.
Yeah,
so.
And, like, I don't know. It's just like my family that are dead religious and that, and it's like I don't go, like, I'm not like a chair. I do pray, like, again, back manifestations, you know what I mean? But not like to God and stuff, do you know what I mean? But like, I think it's, I don't know. I think, it's just like the idea and the imagery and like more believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Believe in yourself, yeah.
Where's Johnny Cash?
Next to Frank.
He's next to Frank. Yeah,
next to Frank. I love Johnny Cash too.
Is that again from your grandparents?
Yeah. Or like a lot of me music tastes, like obviously the older stuff like that comes from them. And then when I was a kid, I was growing up on like Kerrang, you know, watching Kerrang, the channel, or like pop punk and emo music. And then I've got the wider, and I walk out with a Blackout Crew, do you know what I mean? So it's like everything. I love all music. Like music is a big part of my life, to be honest. Like in my house, like most of the time, I've got the speaker on as opposed to like the telly and stuff. Like, yeah, I love music.
We've spoken so much about your grandparents. You have a tribute to your granddad as well.
I do. It was my first ever tattoo, that one. It says big man, big heart, because that's what he was. He was a big man with a big heart.
Was that a phrase obviously that you guys had for him?
Yeah, it was spoken? my mom like come up with it, and it was like it's fitting perfectly. She's got a tattoo on her wrist as well. But yeah, and as well little story behind that one, right? So I always wanted tattoos when I was a kid, right? When I was living at home then, I was 16. And my dad was always like, you're not getting any tattoos until you leave home. And you're under my roof. And then it got down to like, when you're 18. And then I like pitched the idea for this one. He was like, oh, it's nice. Go on then. He was like, but I'm not coming with you. He was like, you've got to go yourself. And I, obviously, I was just like, deep voice. All right.
Hello, look at tattoo, please.
I haven't been ID'd since I was about 13.
I was going to say, I think you've had a beard forever.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, I haven't been there, so I was fine.
Because there's pictures on your Facebook of you at school, and you do look like 5 or 6 years older in all of them.
I've always there. Because,
yeah.
Older looking boy. Yeah,
that's it. Boy. Which helps if you're starting fighting so young as well. Yeah. Of all the other tattoos we've mentioned, is there any other favourites in there that...
So this
boxer, we've got the Marlboro Juice Cup.
This boxer's got a little I just like this one because I had a boxer. Me and my dad have both got this boxer, but I got a little injury.
Oh, is it the pugilist from the painting? Is that them?
It's just the boxer guy.
Nice.
Yeah, right. So I was a silly boy once and I cut my wrist on a window.
Oh.
Six tendons. Surgery, and the first thing the surgeon went, he went, I'll try and stitch the legs together. I was like, mate, just try and stitch the arm together first. But look how much of a good job he did.
Oh, I mean, that's impressive.
That's and it's always that. I'm like, you know what? What a guy!
You saved an arm and two legs that day.
An arm and two legs.
What's the Marlboro Juice Cup one? I'm just intrigued. It looks like a Marlboro packet, but that looks
it's
like
a can of milk, right?
And
it's a Marlboro. I love cigarettes and I love milk. It was a filler, you know what I mean? you got to fill it up, do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I'm always intrigued, so I've never had one, but people always talk about how addictive they are.
My latest tattoo was, I've always wanted a tribute tattoo of wrestling, and, like, Kane is my favourite wrestler of all time when I was a kid. I don't know if you've seen it, so it's, like, Kane's mask. It's got, like, the barbed wire around it.
Nice.
And then I wrestled Cass in a death match, and then the barbed wire got cut, and I was like, you know what, that's nice. I was like, that is actually perfect. So I've got, like,
it actually adds to it, doesn't it? Yeah. It enhances it a bit.
Yeah. Like, that's just nice.
We're going to get into the deathmatch stuff, but before we do, let's choose your second match then. So we've picked your first one for your DVD, Samoa Joe and Necro Butcher. What's the second one going to be?
Mike Awesome versus Masato Tanaka. Fucking all of them. All of them.
We're just making a DVD of every single one they've had. Ooh. Now, these two are a hell of a combination.
We'll go particularly like Heatwave 98 and One Night Stand. Like the big ones for me, but like all of them, like fucking hell. Yeah.
I think that's always impressive when WWE brought back ECW for that pay-per-view in 2005.
I love that show.
Whenever people talk about Masato Tanaka and Mike Awesome, of all the matches they had in the original ECW, so many cite that one under WWE's watch as the best one they had.
Yeah, I that one, it's crazy though, because when was ECW on its time? Was that 2005?
2005, yeah.
It was like 7 years on, like from Heatwave. It's very similar. Mike Awesome is a genetic freak, by the way.
Oh, gosh.
How was he like Vince McMahon's wet dream? I don't understand.
It's mad, isn't it?
He should have been.
I think because when you saw him in WWF during the invasion, because everyone in WWF is so fucking massive, like he looked relatively normal size.
The way he was moving about and stuff.
That's a school of thought in terms of the old mindset is the fact that if you're a big lad, you wrestle like a big lad. Don't go doing flips.
Wasn't it?
That was the selling point.
Amazing,
same with Keith Lee. It's
amazing,
that.
Amazing, yeah. So, like, that that was amazing. Like, for me as well, like, similar, like, Samoa Joe and Necro Butcher, like, that match for me is, like, so it's not one of those matches where it's, like, we're going to kill each other with a load of weapons. It's, like, we're two big fucking blokes who are hard as nails. We're going to batter each other. And if there's a table there, I might get stuck through it. Or if I pick up a chair, I might use it. It's like a bar fight, isn't it? But it's, like, we're fighting. It's like a fight to the death rather than, like, do you know what I mean? That's what, like, in my eyes, like, it is. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, all glass and gory and blood, you know what I mean? It's just, like, hard hitting, like, hard, like, just, like, fighting for, like, in a bar. Like,
we had Michael Caden on here, and his is coming out just after yours. And one of the things that he said lots of lovely things about you. So it was a big old loving. But one of the things he said that I thought was really interesting, he said some of my favourite death matches probably aren't death matches.
Yeah.
In the sense that what is a death match?
Yeah, what qualifies it? In my eyes, it should just be like no DQ, all rules, like rules and no rules.
Yeah,
because like not on a family show, but like in a no DQ match, I could like use anything, whether it's glass or barbed wire or a fucking table or a fucking baking tray. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, so I don't know. But like, it's subjective to anyone. But like, yeah.
when it comes to that scene, then we will probably talk about it throughout today and sort of use the overarching term of death match in wrestling. On the table, you will see two belts, and on the one furthest away from myself is the Rise European Deathmatch Championship. That's special because that is a relatively new title, and you owe a lot of where you are today to Rise, don't you?
Like way home, like home away from home. Like, Danny, took a big punt on Daniel Doherty. Shout out Daniel Doherty. Took a big punt on us and, give us, I was like, I just want to do deathmatch. I want to do that. I want to try it. And, he could have, I was only, a year in. And he gave us the chance, and, I wrestled Joe. Big Joe. Shout out Big Joe.
Shout out Big Joe.
Also, shout out Tim Strange, because Tim Strange, I love Tim Strange a bit. I love Tim Strange a bit, and I always shout him out. So there's that. Well, we're shouting people out. Caden, Joe, Tim Strange, Dargo. Brett and Darwin. That's about it. Everyone else there. I'm like so much bad.
Everyone else gets everyone else in the mud there.
Nathan Black's a bit of a wank, but he's all right.
He just scrapes in. So talk to me about the first time you met Danny O'Doherty and the first time you went to Rise and your thoughts on it.
I think it would have been on early North when he was doing all his bits with Saxon and he was like, proper gypsy boy.
Wait, that's it. His
That was it. I think that was it. And then I think, at the time, I was teaming with Shreddy, England's Tallest Men.
Yeah. Well, that was how we met when it was North Wrestling. Yeah, and you had formed this tag team. Initially, security guards turned a lovable tag team that came out to Casey and the Sunshine Band.
So much fun.
That was
cutting the teeth, man. That's what welcomes to the world.
Because you and Shreddy were so far apart in terms of style and presence and look. And I think a lot of people looked to Shreddy because he was more of a bigger character. Yeah. You were very much in the background, but it was like when Lou got tagged in, somebody's dying.
Someone's getting kicked in the head.
How did you feel that whole thing went?
I enjoyed it. It was good to get us into it. Do you know what I mean? And then obviously, the more I went on, I found I want to do this, and start working towards that. You know what I mean? Like fight myself, and I feel like now you kind of really shut us up. You know what I mean? obviously England's Hardest Men. I didn't talk much. Now I think particularly the past last year and this year, I think promos for me have been a big thing. I'm constantly thinking so basically one of my friends, Hacksaw he's called, and he's not a relation to wrestling. He's one of my best pals. But we'll call him Hacksaw because. Cut a teacher's arm off in technology class with a hacksaw. Obviously, that didn't happen. Anyway, the real...
I was so when you said, "I'll tell you why it's called Hacksaw," I was ready for a million different routes that story could have gone.
The real reason's a bit shit. It's just I picked up a thing in a DIY store and was funny. Yeah, but that's what we tell people. And it just stuck. Anyway.
We're sticking with the teacher.
He goes to uni. I don't know if it's Newcastle or Northumbria. One of the two. Up here, anyway. He lives near me. And every time I've got a promo, I've got my ideas and he helps us, write it and put it together. So I think it's little things like that, you know what I mean? Help you.
Do you feel like that was something that was missing from the early part of what you were doing?
Yeah, my brain goes a million miles an hour all the time, but sometimes I struggle to get it down and get it out, my ideas out there, do you know what I mean? So I think it's good to have don't try and do it all yourself, do you know what I mean? If you need some some people do promos and it's falling on the car, I'm on my way to wherever, do you know what I mean? I'm come on, do you know what I mean? So now, obviously, you start, the more I was doing it, the more comfortable I get. And then now I just find them second nature. It's just let's do this, boom, boom, boom.
But that's because you've reached out and you've got some guidance in there. Yeah, how should I do that?
I mentioned him before, Nathan Black, helped with a lot of promo advice. If you watch his promos, he's really, really good, top quality, do you know what I mean? Just little things that he's told us about things, more from films and stuff rather than watch this promo, watch that promo. It's how you seeing this guy, this actor, do how he does things and stuff. And that's what it is really, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's just little things. It's always be doing something, moving about, don't ever be, it's just little things. And then it just becomes natural. And then the more it's reps, more you do it.
I think because there's a considered style when it comes to wrestling promos. And you need somebody like, so Nathan Black, for those who aren't familiar with him, so obviously he's a wrestler, but he's also a stand-up comedian.
TNA and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he's very funny. No.
Well, he didn't make your list earlier, so fuck him.
Exactly.
But he's got that. And you sometimes need that. And similar to kind of where your success has come from, you've got influence from outside of wrestling that has made you stand out in the same way, you know, your MMA experience is kind of what Nathan Black's stand-up comedy experience is.
Exactly,
It's something that you bring something very different that no one else can do in the way that you do it.
It's like a different, it's a different like element that, but it can be used in that. Do you know what I mean? It's like 100%. It's like one of the many things that can be like put in the wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah. When it comes to that sort of deathmatch style, what was it that really appealed to you?
I'll tell everybody this, that what got me into deathmatch wrestling was my second ever show, like that I worked on. It was Rise, so it was like. It was me and Shreddy versus Darwin and Little Joe in a tag match. But the main event of that show was Joe versus Caden in like a ball. I think it was a no-rope barbed wire death match or something like that. And I'd never seen a death match before like that. Obviously, I'd seen ECW and that, but I'd never seen like light tubes and all that.
And certainly not up close.
And then, pardon the pun, I had a light bulb moment. I was like, what if I put it next and like kicked it? Or like, rather than do this, it's like, and just, and then. Here we are.
So you were watching that match and going, how would I adapt MMA?
I was like, this is really cool. And I was like, obviously, I want to like use like for me, being an MMA guy, it was stupid. Like, start trying to do loads of flips and shit. Like, you know what I mean? Not that good anyway. I'm like a baby elephant. But, obviously, like that hard-hitting style, I love that. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm constantly thinking of ideas like what I'm doing stuff, but that was the one for me. That was that match and that like that show.
Once you realized, actually I can do something with that, what was the first conversation you had with Danny about it?
We're probably both pissed.
Surely not on a Rise show.
Surely not. But it was probably just like, I was like, Danny, I wanted to have a go at that death match. He's probably like, Bonnie lad, we'll just put you in the main event of the next show.
That was
probably,
it.
Like... Probably something like that. No, I don't know. It was probably like, I don't think it was like, I was probably like, okay, well, like, obviously, death match is like a big thing. It's like often main event for cleanup. No, it's because we're the best workers.
Bit of column A,
I think it was just like, all right, sink or swim, do you know what I mean? Like if you want to do it, let's see.
So you'd have this. So we've gone from you watching deathmatch, going, I do that, and I definitely do that. To you saying to Danny, and then Danny going, "Why, body lad, got you in the main event."
I don't think it went down exactly like that. I don't know if it happened that. I don't think it happened that quickly either, because I'd been like, that was my second ever show, and I think I had my first deathmatch around about a year in.
Right.
So it was like, would have been like, I think it was that year. It was like, it was a December. It was like Joe's Christmas bash show. So I don't know if that roundabout, so it would have been like a year in or so.
So how was it in terms of what you expected it to be?
It was quite fun, but I'm a bit sick. I'm a bit of a fucking...
You were sick?
I'm a bit twisted, you know what I mean? I loved it. There's a point where like I'm bleeding and I realise the blood's coming down my head and I'm just like, hey, I'll just take it all in.
Because is it the adrenaline a big part of that as well when you're into it?
Do you know what, as well? It was around about the time when Nick Cage wrestled David Arquette. And I remember Joe was messaging us going, don't David Arquette on us now. Do you know why? He got cut and he freaked out and he left the ring. And then he was like, shit, I'm in a match. And then he goes back.
was he a little bit concerned that maybe, like,
I don't think he was concerned. Like, nah. He's just having a joke. Like,
But,
obviously, like, it's,
so I imagine
it's in
a
the
few
back
that
of my
have...
mind. It's in the back of my mind. It's like, but, like, nah, I knew it.
Yeah, well, the moment that you've cut yourself and you've sensed your blood, you've gone, hey, off we come.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
What do you think are, and there's been so many conversations over the last couple of years, and Rise always seems to be in the center of sort of British deathmatch controversy in one way or another. And I know that from being part of it one and being there when building where buildings haven't let us back in. When was that? Sheath Street seems to ring a bell.
Ah, no. Outgrew it.
That's great PR spin. what are some of the misconceptions about that style that you always seem to be fighting off?
I think the biggest one is that we can't wrestle. Hello. And then it's just without like I think it is the big thing is like the easy goal. It was like without that you couldn't wrestle, but like all we fucking can't, you know what I mean? Like most of it do more family shows than anything else, because like there's not a deathmatch show or an over 18 show every weekend, do you know what I mean? So it's not plausible. So you've got to be able to do everything if you want to like make a thing of it and push yourself out there. Like some people just do death matches, but like they're happy doing other things, you know what I mean? And if that's what they want to do, that's fine. But like me personally, I want to show I can do it all, do you know what I mean? And like I think now I'm doing like a good job of that.
It speaks volumes the fact that you're in the States for WrestleMania week, and you've got shows. You've got Murder Mania with Castover Valentine, and that's you guys have had some fun with that. You're doing the International Death Summit for ICW Noel's Bard.
I'm Cruel, Neil, and Tank. I've never met Tank or been in there with Tank, but he's meant to be a bit of a legend. And I've been in there with. That was mad. That's what it was like. All right, this is a death match against Kane. Like, you know, but obviously not. But, like, that's in my head. I remember. I was like, it's like, it's crazy. I was like, yeah. I was like, fucking hell, it's mad.
This is mad times.
But was that what? I know it was like he's such a cool guy. Cruel is cool. But, like, you know, when I was in there, it's like, sometimes he's like, I'm in a horror movie. Yeah, like, he's grabbing you by the neck and, like, his eye, the mask, and it's like, wow.
I've arrived. This is where I should be.
Jesus Christ, it's like your own nightmare, but I loved it. Like,
what sort of with a schedule like that, where you know, obviously there'll be stuff in there that isn't of a hardcore flavor, but with a schedule like that, what sort of things you put in place just to keep yourself in the right shape? Because it's easy for that to go wrong on one night,
100%.
It spoil the whole week.
So obviously, you can't. I would never go into them to any of these shows with a mindset like one is bigger than the other, like because I'm there like me and I want to smash every show. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not gonna be like, oh, I'll take it easy there and then I'll put I don't know, but like I but like I,
it's more
the build up. It's like I'm trained. I think it was like 2 months from it's mad. It flew by. I give myself 2 months, like get a good routine of training, eat well, make sure I'm fit. Do you know what I mean? And stuff like that. So like I've been training hard and like now it's here. I feel prepared for it and stuff. Like I'm not injured or anything. I think if you think in the back of your mind, "Ooh, I might get hurt," it's like you're more likely to get hurt. Do you know what? Like, you always get injured doing like daft things. It's like never like it's never like a big thing. It'd be like I was wrestling there a few weeks ago for Full Tilt, and it was my own fault. I was like throwing the lad JJ Hall. Shout out JJ Hall, by the way. Third match, killed it. I threw him through some chairs and like literally like. I went like, so I'm throwing him with this arm and I like do that, I give myself like whiplash in my shoulder.
Like,
what the hell? And like, it was sore for like 2 weeks and I was like, what the hell? It's fine now. Like, you know what I mean? It's like the stupid thing.
It's the stupid
thing. It's not like the lad going through the fucking chairs. It's like the lad fucking lining with the arm I'm lining it with. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah.
But obviously, like, yeah, just plenty of recovery over there, I guess. Like, some days I've got, like, three shows. Like, I've got, like, Bloodsport and Schlack's show and then GCW again, GCW versus the World. So I think it's just, like...
Is there like a routine that you have post-match that sort of mentally and physically puts you back? Is it pints? It's pints. Good lad. No, it's pints.
Over there, I'm like, I've got to like get through everything and like, I want to have fun and stuff too, but yeah, I just look after myself. Don't be too stupid.
Be a sensible level of stupid.
Yeah, be a sensible level of stupid.
Sensible level of stupid.
So the day I get there, on the Tuesday, I've got a match that night. I can't say what it is yet because it's an open challenge. But for example, like, I'm not going to let him kill us. I'm definitely not going to let him kill us. on the first night. But do you know what I mean? But then, like, the Wednesday, I've got a day off. So the big thing I want to do when I'm there is the Rocky statue. I want to go see the Rocky statue.
Brilliant.
So I've got one day on the Wednesday where I've got a free day. And then so I'm going to go see that during the day. And then Thursday is Bloodsport. And obviously, that's like the reason I'm there. So it's like, I think that, like, one, I think one, as the shows start, like, going on, I'd be like, yeah, fuck it. Like, you know, as I start ticking them off, I'm like, I've only got two more to do. I'm like, ah, yeah.
Let's just go out swinging. Let's ride it like we stole it for the last two.
Yeah, 100%.
That's it. Because I was going to ask, like, how much time you would get between the shows to have that downtime and do stuff like the Rocky statue.
You would. Like, honestly, you could. But, like, I'm like, I wanted to do as much as I could. Do you know what I mean? Like, some people, like, go out and just do a few and, like, have a bit of a holiday and stuff. And like, but I wanted to keep busy. Like, too much time is dangerous. That's what that's for me. So I was like, and then I was like, I was looking, I'm like, I think I'm full. I was like, Rocky Statue is like, that's a booking for me. That's, you know what I mean?
Oh,
Rocky
God,
Statue
yeah.
and Philly cheesesteaks. That's like a booking. Like, so that's my manager. That's like
I booked myself that's like that
day. That's, like, myself out.
That's your self-care, that is. Rocky Statue, Philly cheesesteaks, and pints.
I don't think I could fit anything else in.
Brilliant.
I really want to obviously watch WrestleMania. I'm not going, but I want to watch it. For me, the big thing for me, particularly being a Geordie, watching it in a bar. Yeah. Like, imagine like watching some Newcastle's on the bar. Like, imagine watching a Philly, the WrestleMania for the bar in Philly. You know, it was like, wait.
You want to find somewhere like Shearer's there?
I want to, like, people going Raj.
That's what you want to. There's bound to be a few.
Oh, there will.
I know Blue Mean is putting on a thing at McCusker's Tavern.
He
said it's like, it's just a super chill, sort of drop in, drop out type thing. Some ECW lads might pop by. Come and have a pint. Go see Meanie. Yeah, go see Brian. Tell him I said hi. I'll send you where it is. I'll put a word in. He's class. We love him. It's the fact that you're where you are now is impressive when you consider the really horrific injury that you had in 2019. So I mean, I've got it here. So, and I remember us talking about it. Broken leg and 6 severed tendons in your arm. So those are the ones, and also two legs gone from the boxer. How did that happen?
Not wrestling.
It wasn't a wrestling one, was it? I think I remember what happened.
A young stupid boy.
What did you do?
So, I was there. It was after a wrestling show, actually. I went to meet my pals. They were really drunk because I got there late, had a couple of pints. And I was like, community centre roof over opposite side of the bar. I was like, let's go have one of those chilled cigarettes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I rolled one up and it was raining. So I like climbed on the roof and I was like, I stand on a bin. Like, it was a green bin, you know, the green. I slipped and I fell. And do you know the cold sweat you get when you've done something?
Yeah.
Like, I got that and I was like, oh dear. I think I was meant to wrestle Clint like the next week. That was like a big one for me at the time. Like, I really wanted that match. And I was like, I'll fucking do it on crutches, me. I don't care. But I walked home on it.
I
helped his eye. And I was like, ah, it might just be a twisted angle or something. But I felt a bit weird. So like, I self-medicated, went to sleep, and then I woke up and like, I got out of bed and I went to put my feet on the floor. I was like, I had to call upon Mother Bear. I did. I was like, Mom, I think I've done something to my leg. I can't. It's like, and she's come and picked us up, took us to the hospital, and they're like, how did you even walk home on that? Like, that, it's got like screws in. I've never had no grief from it since.
So you've got screws in there?
Five screws, like one, and then one at a dodgy angle. And then
so how soon was it from when your mum took you to the hospital? Did they operate on you?
It was like straight away.
Straight in.
They kept us in. Pretty much. I went home, and then because I don't think you're allowed to eat or something, so I think they sent us away, like, don't eat, and then come back in. And then a week later, I did the old tendons.
And that was...
Silly boy again.
That was silly boy smashing some glass.
So I was on my crutches.
I was out on my crutches, but I was on the drink. I was on the drink. So I was young and dumb, and I was locked out. And I really wanted to be in, and angry. Now, and I had a crutch. Why didn't I use that?
Are we just realizing that now?
No, no, I realized it at the time, but yeah. And then, I did that. And I have
How soon did you know with that one that, oh, that's something bad's happened here?
Oh, when I looked at it.
Because that went straight away.
It was the worst. I think it was like, I think it was the worst thing I've ever seen. It was like, I could see everything. And then, you know what, I reacted quite well. I was just like, so this is how I know I would be like, obviously I'd wrestled by then and done death matches, but I was just like, all right, I just took my jacket off, wrapped it around my arm, lay on my back, and like the person I was with, I was like, will you ring an ambulance, please? Like, yeah. I was so chill. But like, I think, it's just like,
I think you have to be there with that because you think about how you're a couple of millimeters away from disaster.
I was in that part. I wouldn't have got the blood sport. Imagine. No, but I've never. I think those like that was the last time I was a bit, like done anything mad. Like I sorted myself out. And wrestling's going well. Keep myself on the straight and narrow.
Did that change a lot of your mindsets?
Yeah. And then I think lockdown came not long after that.
It was a few months after because you couldn't do anything for a while and the doctors had told you like you got to take it easy.
And then I come back. I did a few shows and I think we got locked down. But then I was like coming out and I was like. Getting back into it and stuff, and I think I started like training people in my granda's backyard, her backyard dojo. And that's what kept everyone busy. Honestly, it was mad that like.
So you were running a training school in the back
in Bensham, the streets.
Wow, the streets. Hey, that's
It was like start off, and that's how I started. But that's how I had them boxing fights after lockdown. I was like me and my mate who I train with. Like obviously, we normally go to the gym every day and like. Gym's routine forward, you know what I mean? It's like keeps it right, and we're like, right, we'll do something. So we got some plates and that off the gyms and that, and like hitting pads and that, and then just like people saw and they're like, oh, we're training them.
I don't think Bloodsport know how fucking terrifying it is that you're there. Yeah. This man ran a fight club in Bensham.
Bensham.
Where I used to work, the guy who used to do drive on Smooth, if anyone gave me any trouble, I'd say, who is it? I know some people in Bensham. Like, so there's...
if you're dropping the name of Bensham, that just shows how rough it is.
it's more than it has character.
Yeah.
And people, you know, if you know people in Bensham, then they can sort... But then, they'll have your back. And your arms and your legs and your hands and your fingers. And your
It's actually so true as well.
But it shows you what great discipline that you have because you went through that and you even put online, you put a composite of before and after and you'd really lost your way a bit in terms of your conditioning and you're very open about that.
Yeah, 100%,
you know, you look like
a
different person. Pressure makes diamonds.
It's all full circle stuff.
It's like we know what we're doing here.
Yeah, we do.
But it shows you this. So the mindset must have been so strong for me like to, because you said before, I can't not be busy. I've got to be busy.
I've got to be busy. Yeah. I was like, especially like when it's my first time there, do you know what I mean? I was like, why? Just put me again. It was like putting myself out there. So like that's what I was like to fill up the week. I was just like any show that I seen that I felt like I could fit into, I was messaging them, saying I was there, put myself out there. And do you know what? I got a few no's. I got a few, oh, I would love to have you, but we're busy. I got ghosted a few times, but I filled my week. Do you know what I mean? It's possible, do you know what I mean? If I can do it.
How long have you had this sort of manifestation principle within you? Because I feel like that's
the breakout year of wrestling like last year, like stuff that was happening last year. I was like, if you had it told us like some of the stuff like I got wrestled like Drake Younger, do you know what I mean? My first match in America. If you had it told us that like before, I'm like, what? All right then. Yeah.
That was a big moment for you. I mean, you know, with
crazy and that whole thing came about on two or three weeks' notice. Mm. Like, have you got a passport? Yes. Are you free this date? Yes. I'm like, is this for XPW? Yes. You wrestling Drake? What? All right. He's the brain he's got for it as well. Like, and it was cool going over there. He's like, oh, I've seen your stuff. You're like a fighter on you. We'll do the Bret Hart fucking Roddy Piper run up the buckle. We, you're the choke. Do you know what I mean? It's like mad. And then obviously kept getting brought back there, and then obviously when I spoke about the Necro and Small Joe being one of my favourite matches, and then got matched up with him, and I was just like, anything else that happens now, I'm just like, I don't like
doesn't surprise us. It's like, it takes us back, but I'm like, yeah, all right, let's do it.
There's controversy around a guy like Drake Younger and a few of the things that have happened as well. When you hear stuff like that, when you hear and see things online about people like that, like, how do you react to that? What's your vibe
so
to
me
that?
Me personally, like, I'm always of like, because everything online, if everything online was true, like, it would all be a mess. You know what I mean? If everyone read into it, so I'm like, I meet you. If you're a nice person to me and like you're a nice guy in front of us, like, that's all you need to be. Do you know what I mean? If I get on with you, obviously, like, I don't agree with certain things people say, but like, it doesn't mean like we're gonna have to stand here and argue about it. You know what I mean? It's like, if you're nice to me, whatever our opinions are and about politics or life or whatever, fine. But like in wrestling, like, it's one thing we know both love is wrestling. Do you know what I mean? So let's go have a banger match. Like, that's it. And he was like a nice guy. I liked him. But yeah, that's how I'd say in any walk of life, really. Like, if you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. If you're a dick, you...
That's something with you that I think is, I think people misconstrue, but I think it's a passion and a pride for people and who you're around. Yeah. I only say that because I know you and I had a disagreement about something that we resolved because we're cool like that, and it was around, but it all came because you felt that somebody within your camp was being served a disservice, and absolutely so. You fight the corner of the people you know.
It was just one of them. It was just like, misunderstanding and stuff, wasn't it? But that's what I mean. It's fine, but like, I don't know. I'm just like that.
But that's a big part of who you are, in the sense that you know, if people are good to you and you look after them,
like a loyal guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have me boys back. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, in my head, I'm like, it's like, I don't know the expression of like, what if I eat, everybody eats? Do you know what I mean? I'm just all about like that, like family, like Soprano style, like, hey, we're all the boys, we'll look out for each other, rather than like one person's gain, like, we should all benefit, you know what I mean? And just, I don't know, I think it just makes the world a better place.
Because you going over to, Rise has given you so much and you've gained so much from there, and the fact you're going over there and you're taking Rise Gold with you and you're spearheading, and this is something else we'd love to talk about, which is Rise heading to America. That's exciting.
It's exciting. I don't really know too much about it yet, but it's happening. I had a Casanova stayed at mine like after the show, and Danny was there, and there was discussions and stuff. It'd be fun.
That's exciting. We've got to get to your third final match. Yes. So we've had some bangers so far. You said the third one.
So this is like,
This takes us back to the start.
So this is like earliest memory for me of wrestling, and like what really like got us in. It's what's earliest memory that sticks with me, and it is 2001 Survivor Series main event, WWE versus ECW and WCW, the Alliance. Just the whole thing from Puddle of Mud, Control, that promo.
I love the way you look at me.
it's like Vince McMahon, like, winner takes all, like, fuck, Stone Cold Stone, The Rock, and like, oh, and then like, oh my God, that promo gives us chills. Like, I'm gonna have that on my headphones, like, I'm gonna be blasting in the speaker. But yeah, just like the whole, like, that match, like, that, like, I had to go back and like watch the build up, but that DVD was like the earliest memory, and obviously that was the main event, and like, oh, it was just amazing, like the whole thing. Even like, do you know, like that whole pay per view was just mad. I remember like the Dudleys were in a match. I'm sure it was a steel cage match with the Hardys, was it? Maybe.
On that, yes, it was Dudleys and Hardys, and the finish came.
Keebler.
Yeah,
doing all that thing, getting the keys. Just like,
Jeff jumped off the ladder, off the top of the cage, went through the table, fucked it up for the Dudleys, for the Hardys, even.
Particularly like the main event, like the 5-on-5, like, and then all like the twists and turns at the end, and then fucking, and Kane's in there, Rob Van Dam's in there, Shane McMahon's in there. He gets a big show, takes everybody's finish. Like, I think you gotta put them like, but everyone. I think it's Shane McMahon gets the last, like the last finish on him, and he's like, lying. I'm sure he pins him. And it's like, she's like, he's pinned on him. Like, Shane's not even on the ground. Like, he's like, on his belly. Like, it's so funny. But yeah, that match for me. That was that sticks out.
Where were you when you watched that for the first time?
Definitely 100% in my grandma's living room, surrounded by a wrestling ring and load of figures on my knees in front of the telly. So I spent most of my time just putting different things on, playing like figures and that. Like, that's like, do you know what? I wish my grandma kept them. Worth a fortune.
Were they like the classic ones?
Not like
the Attitude Era ones? Did they have the little bit on the little bit on the feet where you could push them on the Titantron and they would play their music?
No, I wasn't that cool. I'm 28, so I'm like, I'm not as cool as that one. But yeah, I had like a lot.
No, you're not as old as me is the problem.
I'm gonna say that.
Like,
that's
fine.
I'm not that cool.
Fine.
Yeah, but like I had loads of different ones and that. Yeah, but yeah, it would have been then like early. Like I had a selection of DVDs and that. I must have got given them or something, and that was like the first one that stuck. I remember it was like a blue, like that thing, like it was a blue, like a light blue thing, the DVD I had, and it was like, yeah, the teams, just looked like that was the one.
Obviously, your granddad's not with us anymore. Is your grandma still with us?
My grandma Barbara is, yes.
Yeah.
She'll outlive me here. It's real. Been spinning like 3 times a week.
Good lads. Yeah. What does Barbara make of the progress that you've made? Well, bear in mind that you were the little lad playing with the figures, watching the wrestling.
Like, obviously, like I see my grandma and stuff. Like she was like, says, "Oh, how are you doing?" She, "Yeah, I remember it all started like with the figures and that." I'm like, "You still got them?" She's like, "No." I'm like, 14's out.
Livid.
Give them away, but like, nah. She must be mad for her. Like, what? Like, it's like, yeah, like what? Like that's and now I'm doing it. Like, do you know what I mean?
Has she ever watched you?
Do you know what? She came to me first ever match. It was an NGW Proving Ground match. I wrestled Zio Knox. I think like my whole family was there. I remember like Zio Knox, my little sister's thing up. Now I was outside, like, oh, my family's coming to watch. But yeah, I think I had the whole gang there for the first match, and then they're like, hey, my mum hates us doing death matches, though.
Does she?
I snigger every time I post the picture, like, and I'm like, I'm gonna get a message soon. can you not just do something else? Like, not bleed? Can you do it without the blood? Yeah, I could, but like, why? But yeah, she enjoys it. I've got a dead support family, like, with, like everyone's like, supports all my crazy ideas and dreams, and that I always have, like.
That's why family is so important.
Yeah, it is.
Because they've always had your back. Because it's such a unique industry to land in.
Yeah, it's been wild. Like,
yeah.
I want to be a wrestler. And it's like, oh, what? I've got a show coming up. It's like a social club and down the road. All right, so how are you going to get? But now it's like, oh, I'm going to America. Hey, I'm going to, I've been like Italy, Germany, all that. I'm up and down all the country. I'm like, seen that film, Fighting My Family, all the nights. I'm like, oh, I was there, European champion. Hey, it's like, yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, just like now it's like the start. All right, he's doing all right.
Yeah, it's like we don't quite get it, but you seem to be doing all right in it.
Aye.
You got a roof over your head and your head's on your shoulder 100%. Still, so you're doing all right.
I'm not in jail and I'm not in a ditch.
that's all we can ask for some days, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ahead of Bloodsport then. So what? How does your training regimen change knowing that this? I know every show is important and you never want to put one on a pedestal more than the other, but I know Bloodsport is a very different beast.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you train for that as opposed to something else?
Obviously, like, I've seen Eric Hammer and he's a beast, so I need to make sure I was a beast going in there. So I've had a very strict, like, strength weights pro, like weights training, like just making sure I'm hitting everything, like deadlifts, pull-ups, squats, bench, strong stuff. Do you know what I mean? I've put a bit of size on. I'm sitting at a nice nearly 16.5-17 stone, comfortable. That's on a morning as well before I've ate. So
what's the diet like at the moment, getting ready for it?
So I'm not like, do you know, I do like my food and that, right? So I like, we call it a dirty bulk, do you know what I mean? I hit my protein, right? I hit my protein, I mean, get me rice and that in, me potatoes, but if I want a little chalky bar, or, do you know what I love? Cream egg bar.
Oh!
Cream egg put in the bar.
I've seen them.
It's got to be in the bar.
They're amazing.
My pal who I live with, he was like, I'm proud of you, you know, you've cut, like, since I said, like, I've got 2 months, I'm going to cut down on the sweets, so I've only been having them on a weekend. I was eating one a day at one point, and I'm like, 2 months, I've been having them on a weekend. But, just making smarter choices and stuff. Like, to be fair, for me, I haven't been going out very much. I think I had one night out with the boys recently, because it was a special occasion.
Do you find that when you haven't gone out for a while, it hits you a bit more? Because I find that if it's been a while since I've been out, I'm like, I feel it the following day.
But like, the build up and that, like, I've just been like Monday to Friday, get to the gym, train hard, eat well, and then obviously like shows on a weekend. If I want a little treat on a weekend, I don't mind. Do you know what I mean? But like, I feel better. Like I've seen like pro, like I took a pro, like put took.
No, like crazy, but I took a picture of myself and like looking now and that and like oh yeah, your shoulders are bigger. Yeah, you've got a bit of a chest.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting there.
Well, I've known you through several different versions of your life.
You've seen really early Lou.
I've seen early Lou and I've seen this Lou and you probably are in the best shape of your life right now. And it's down to the work that you've put in.
I'm still not even done. Like I'm 28. How long?
That's terrifying.
And the wrestler is there in the peak, like in the LA Knights, like 40, isn't he? And he's like, I'm killing it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I'm not gonna be my best for another 12 years. That's scary.
What does the future look like? Because obviously ahead of this weekend, we'll run it down again. So it's JCW versus the World. You're there.
Yep.
Murder Mania. You're facing Casanova Valentine. You two are going to kill each other.
Yeah, we're going to kill each other.
Excellent. International Death Summit for ICW. Yeah. No Holds Barred.
Got that.
And also Eat the Turnbuckle has been announced. And this is their last show, isn't it? Am I right in thinking this is Shaq? Or is it the final of this particular event that they're running?
Maybe. I think it's more like something like that. Because in my head, it's like, so like it's Shaq's band and called Eat the Turnbuckle.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's their last performance as a band.
Right.
It's something new. And obviously he's putting the wrestling on as well. Someone, I think maybe that's probably, because I know Eat the Turnbuckle is the band, I think. I could be just speaking a lot of bullshit. Yeah. Shaq could be like, what the hell? Advertising all wrong.
Yeah. Sorry, Shaq, did you just come in? He's here.
He says, it's water. Water. That's what he says. W-U-T-E-R.
Water.
I'm going to go from the top. Just kind of over. So the day I get there, Tuesday, I'm answering an open challenge. Boom. Surprise.
Straight in there.
Wednesday, it's like self-care day. Rocky Statue, Philly cheesesteaks. Casanova's got a show on the Wednesday. Might go down and have a little face-off with him.
Nice. Right.
And then Thursday is the big day. Bleeding Gums. That's in Scotland. Shout out Bleeding Gums.
Yeah.
Bloodsport. GCW Bloodsport. Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. Aye. And then I've got to go to Schlack's show in between. Have a little bit of fun there, and then we'll go back to GCW for GCW vs. World. That's like it's not a midnight show, it's an 11:59 p.m. show. I like how they do that, so it like doesn't cross over to the next day, technically.
Is that,
so,
I've seen that.
I'm sure it's for advertising, because if they put like midnight, it starts to become the next day, then I think people get confused, especially if it's like the last show of the day.
Yeah,
and then that's a Thursday. Friday, I've got Murder Mania with Cass. And then ICW, in National Death Summit, is that, that one, big four-way. And then Saturday and Sunday on the mornings, I've got WrestleCon. I'm appearing at WrestleCon, which will be fun. I've never done anything like that before in my life. So that'll be fun.
So that's your first WrestleCon then. So you'll be doing signings and...
Yeah, signings.
Causing some trouble.
Yeah, no doubt. I'll be running around trying to find Ken Shamrock. Wait, if he's there. and then on the evenings of the Saturday and Sunday, I have... two other surprise shows. Well, one of them's getting announced. The graphic hasn't went out yet, so I don't want to say it because keep myself in the good books. And then the Saturday is definitely a surprise. I've got 8 matches all together and then the 2 WrestleCon appearances. And then I get back and then I'm non-stop. I think I defend this belt when I get back against Franco Faith in an Extreme Rules match. That'll be fun. Masato Tanaka Mike, awesome.
Masato Tanaka Mike Awesome.
That's what we want to do. Like, that could be class. But yeah.
What if Ken Shamrock wants a piece of that while you're over there?
Come try. You can try.
Because we didn't even touch on the beef with you and Ken.
There's no
you got t-shirts out of it.
Yeah, I know. Jill, you comes over from America. The show's she didn't even know, and she got us the t-shirt. I was like, that is my favorite t-shirt ever. So there's been actually a little bit of furtherness in the Ken Shamrock story.
Okay, go on. Spill some tea.
He doesn't even run his own social media.
Oh,
because someone went to, you know, was it the WrestleCon recently here, in Manchester or something, where he was an enforcer in the match, wasn't he?
Yes.
So one of the lads who comes to the shows, Joe, met him and he was like, oh, I'm going to ask about you. And he was like, oh, I'm really sorry. I don't run my own social media. I wish him the best. So
you're not even beefing with Ken, you're beefing with Ken's media team.
Someone in the man.
You're beefing with Nigel from accounts.
Yeah, apparently that's, but I don't know if he said that covers back. You know what I mean? He is in an event. He's in an event trying to be a nice guy, sell his stuff. So he probably, oh no, Lou, he's probably fizzing inside. No, it wasn't me.
That's the worst, isn't it though? Because you're like,
you know what? If he's at WrestleCon this year, we'll find out. So Ken. If I'll see how he reacts. I'll know.
He doesn't react.
If he like, looks at his computer.
But Nigel from his media team next to him is sweating.
Yeah. I don't know. So maybe, I don't know. Like, now I've said that, like, I reckon it could be a cover up.
Oh.
Like, yeah. We'll see.
We're going to find out. We'll WrestleMania.
I would love to wrestle Ken Shamrock. I made a list of, I never posted it. It was a personal list just because I want to sit, look, check back at it at the end of the year of like 10 people I'd like to wrestle this year. Ken Shamrock's number one.
Nah.
he's the only like unrealistic one.
That's really dangerous because you are a king of manifestation.
Yeah, I know. That's why I did it.
Can you, I know it's a personal list and it's not my place to ask, but I will ask anyway because I'm rude. Can you give us one name from that list?
Well, I wrote this list in, December, start of December, and one of the matches that happened, Cruel was on the list. Rampage Brown's on the list.
You never had Rampage in a match?
No.
I assumed you guys would have crossed.
On the list. Do you know who else is on the list? Joe Wade's on the list. Hardman Dan's on the list. It's a very
collective
list, but it's like for me.
Hardman Dan
Josh
is.
Josh Barnett's on the list. Effie's on the list.
Good lads.
I just tell the list.
I didn't want to push it. You got no.
Big Joe in America specifically is on the list.
Because now this is interesting because we talked about this.
Isaac North and the Monsters Ball is on the list. How many have I said there? There was 10.
I think we've said 10.
I think I've done it.
You've done the whole list. There we go.
You know what?
But the Big Joe thing is really interesting because Michael Caden is. I think Michael Caden's called out Big Joe as well from America because he was true because I said, oh, who do you want to fight in America when Rise goes to America? And he said the thing is we want to deliver. You know, we want to have these matches that we have in the UK in America. Yeah, it's, if we fight an American guy, it's not the same.
Yeah, it's big for that's a thing.
Yeah, it's like you're playing the hits in America. It's like a world. It's like a music tour.
Like, when it's like it's obviously we're all like good pals as well. Like so, it's like cool. It's like getting us two in America, getting to wrestle each other. Like you know what I mean? It's mint. Obviously going over there and being on shows together and stuff, and like being there with your boys. Like either way, and obviously there's so many great talents in America who I'd love to want to wrestle. But like I think there'd just be something special about. You and your boy, like in America, wrestling each other.
Yeah.
And you had like 4 or 5 matches over here, but you go get to do one over there. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's big. It is. It's like showing them what the total, like showing them what they're not seeing over here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's there'll be people who watch Rise from the States who actually get to see the Rise experience in its full form. You know, because a lot of tours that go from one side of the world to the other, it sometimes has a tendency to be here's 4 of the guys and then we've padded it out with local talent.
100%.
But from what I gather from the Rise plans for the US is the whole lads on tour.
Yeah, it's looking that way. And then obviously. There's like
you'll have a few, but
that's what I was gonna say. So obviously you've got your Casanovas and that. No doubt he's gonna be there. Yeah. And you've got guys like Cruel. I want to never go with Cruel. I'll be asking for him. And then you've got like other like so many Americans who've been to Rise now, and like you could like so especially the ICW weekends and stuff. You can associate them with Rise and that kind of like loosely. Do you know what I mean? Like John Wayne Murdoch. I got to wrestle him the first time I come over. That was like an unexpected one, like because there was a little card shuffle up. I walked in. He come over like last minute and like, he's such a good guy. I've got on really well. Like, that's what I mean. Like, there's loads of people we could pull in that could still have that's a Rise show. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's nice when that pans out that way, isn't it? When you get a bit of a mixture. Yeah. But it's all about WrestleMania week this week. This is going out just before you leave.
Nice.
I want people to keep track of your movements while in America. Where's the best place they can keep up with you?
Instagram is the best for me. Instagram's my number one. It's Big Lou Nixon or at Lou Newton 17. Shoot name, I don't care. And then Twitter. I'm trying to get better at Twitter. That's Big Lou Nixon. And then, but I'm gonna make a vlog. I'm gonna vlog it and put it on YouTube's when I'm done because I did 3 last year and then I got a bit lazy with them. I think this is a good time to bring it back, bring the first vlog back. Yeah, so I'm gonna try my best and get lots of fun content and then post that on YouTube. I think my YouTube channel's like Lou Nixon, but I'll post that on Instagram anyway.
You're sticking
Instagram, that's the one. Insta, gosh.
a warning to everyone doing Bloodsport, you're getting a Geordie who started
the news.
Starts spreading the news.
I'm here today.
He's gonna be a part of it, and he did a fight club in Bensham, and he'll sing Frank at you when he's done. Big Lou Nixon, go smash America,
go take
it back for us, and we honestly, from the Northeast, couldn't be proud of you, sir.
I like that, represent.
No pressure, but you're basically our our Alan Shearer over there. So
big belly kick as well. That's what's going to happen.
Can you scream Shearer as you do it?
Kick Eric Hammer's head off and shout fucking Shearer.
Oh my God! Right, making history.
Bruce Pelvy, top in.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.